Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of James chapter 2 this morning, book of James chapter 2. We dealt a couple weeks with the theme about love, and we are done with that, but we're going to continue going on in this book, and we're going to see some things this morning. I got a lot of scripture that I want to read, so hopefully we have a good time doing this. Let's begin reading in verse number 14. It says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou a faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Let's pray, and then we'll begin to go into some more scripture. Lord, as we continue to go through your word, I pray that you just guide me. I pray that you bestow your wisdom upon me. Allow me to teach your people what you want to be taught this morning. God, I pray for all of our teachers that are in their classrooms this morning, that you just be with them. I pray that you guide them through your word. We have some young people that, Lord, might not know you as Lord and Savior. And so, God, I pray that if that would be the case, not only there, but, Lord, if that be the case here, that you would begin to bring conviction to the hearts that need your salvation. And, Lord, as we go through here, it's not by works, but it's by our faith in you. We thank you for this day that you've given us, and we ask it in your name. Amen. Faith equal works. Go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would, back to Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to read another lengthy portion here. Galatians chapter 3, and it was just mentioned as an illustration at the towards the end of the book of James about Abraham. And we're going to read a little bit more about him. So beginning in verse number 6, it says, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." So let me ask you a question this morning. What's the theme? How do we get to heaven? Is it by our works? Or is it by what is mentioned in Galatians? Which is what? Class, participate just for a little bit. Faith, exactly. It is our faith. Are we justified by the law? No, we're not justified by the law. Works does not equal salvation. God's covenant with Abraham is a faith covenant. The law consisted of 613 laws, which no man can attain salvation through. Imagine trying to keep 613 laws. The Bible says if we're guilty of one, we're guilty of all. Exactly. So in verse number 10 that we just read, clearly shows us, cursed is the man who puts himself under the what? Under the law. Christ's death gave clarification that the law was no good for salvation. It is our faith in him. Verse number 12, as we read, the law is works. It is not of faith. Believers have been redeemed from the law in verse number 13. To reject the death of Christ means we have put ourselves under the law. What I appreciate about the law is the law gives us a clear definition, and it shows us that we need who? We need Christ as our Lord and Savior. So with that being said, Christ, as we read here in this chapter, Christ did what for us? He became a what? A curse. He became a curse for us, showing us that the law cannot give us the cleansing of our sins. One thing that we do know about the law is the law condemns us. The law tells us and shows us that we are guilty of something. Now, throughout the day, I see a lot of people breaking the law. And one of those laws that I see is one that affects me a lot because I happen to be going to those intersections. And you might see those as well. And that law is running the stop sign or the stop light. And normally, there are police officers that are around that when they see this take place, they will see the law that is being broken. And so what takes place? They know a law is broken, and the police, they have to uphold the law. And so they come in with their nice, bright, shiny lights. Some of you folks have probably witnessed those this week. It's a good thing we haven't had to bail you out of jail. But they come in, and they come out of their car, get out of their car, and they say, hey, did you realize what you just did? And some people will try to make something up. I've seen it. I've heard it. And so they will issue them a ticket because they broke the law. The law condemns us, shows us that we are guilty. But Christ, he became a curse for us. Christ's death and accepting of him redeems us. I'm thankful for that this morning. Verse number 14, Abraham's promise with God was bestowed upon the Gentiles way before the law was ever given. The law is breakable. We all know that. The law is breakable. The one thing I appreciate is we break the laws throughout our country. I'm not saying I appreciate that we break the law, so don't misinterpret that, because someone might say, hey, you really appreciate breaking the laws? No, that's not what I meant. But one thing that I appreciate is when it comes to the law, or I might say promises in this area, is God never breaks his promises to us. Even though we break the law, we break promises, God has yet to break anything to us. And in verse number 24, the law brings us to Christ. The law brings us to Christ. And I got to switch pages here and get into my other section of notes so that we can go on even further from this. I'm multitasking. Aren't you guys glad of that? I'm a multitasker this morning. So we know that faith produces what? Faith produces what? Faith produces works. Faith produces works. But works without faith closes the doors of heaven. Your faith in God will cause you to do works for him. That's what that is getting at. So I'm going to give you an illustration this morning that would hopefully help you to understand this. You know that I enjoy doing some sports. I love basketball. My body's not allowing me to play that the way that I used to. Gravity is taking hold of my body, and meaning that I like to sit down more than I like to stand. I've enjoyed that sport. I put a lot of time, effort, practice, dedication to that. I just love it. The one thing that I've gotten involved in the last couple of years, you guys have known this, is, and I just mentioned to it a few minutes ago, is I enjoy playing golf. I really do. And so with that being said, I had to put some time into going to the golf range, trying to figure out how to do some things that I didn't know how to do. But before that, what I would do is I would get on the internet, I would look at some YouTube sites, and I would begin to look at how you're supposed to swing the club, how you're supposed to stand in the box when it comes to lining yourself up with the ball, trying to figure all those things out. I would try to figure out what this club's for, how this club is going to get this far, because each club gives you a different distance. That's what they say. I learned that I can pick up any club and it'll go 10 feet. That's about it. But I put some time into reading those things and dedicated some time in those areas, but that didn't do me any good, just reading those things. What I had to do eventually was to break out of my shell with this and then begin to do what I was learning about. So I had to do some work. It's not just attaining the knowledge, but it's going out there and doing the work that's involved. Faith produces works. So often, the world that we live in has a misunderstanding of how we get to heaven. They have a big misunderstanding of that. And I hope that I can show you this morning where they are wrong in this area. So a majority of the world believe if you can do some good deeds, that is all that is necessary. Well, what's a good deed when it comes to church? Well, that's one thing. They think, well, if I make an appearance maybe once or twice a year, that it's doing a good work, God will be happy with me, and maybe I can get my way into heaven. See, that's a work. And so then they'll take it to the next step. Well, maybe church just isn't enough. Maybe I need to give some offerings to the church so that it can be distributed to the community, and it would do some good into some areas that needs to be done in. And so that is another work that they think will cause them to get to heaven. And they're misguided in these areas. Some will also believe, take it just a step further, is, well, I'm going to be baptized, or I'm going to baptize my children. Well, again, that's just a work. That's just an outward appearance on things. But faith produces works. Here's the downfall of that very thought that I just explained that man has. They will devote time specifically to those things to produce enough good works to earn a spot in glory. And it's not through your works that's going to get you salvation. You first of all must put your faith, trust in who? In God, in Christ. It doesn't talk about putting your works in Him. It talks about putting your faith in Him. And as we just read in Galatians chapter 3, 6 through 14, the main theme is faith. Faith alone. And so as they continue to do this, here's the end result of what will probably take place. As they're trying to work their way into heaven, what they're doing is working themselves out of heaven and working their way into hell. That's what's taking place. And so, which is why it's important for us to really devote our time into studying God's Word so that we can be a voice to people to let them know it's not about works, it's about your faith in Him. So in Hebrews chapter 11, let's go ahead and turn there. Hebrews chapter 11, it's just before the book of James, so you should already be pretty close by. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders attained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Then it goes on and begins to give a list of examples of men and women through faith. But I'm going to skip down through to verse number 6, because this is important for us to understand here. I'm going to ask you guys to read this with me. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Did you get that? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's not by our works, but it's what, class? It's by faith, exactly. And you might say, "Well, Chad, you're kind of being repetitive on this." Yes, it's true. But at the same time, I'm trying to drive this point home to us. Because I don't want us to walk away from here this morning thinking, "Well, hey, I can work my way into heaven." Well, if that's the case, then I failed. I'm trying to show you the importance of faith. And so we see this. The key verse, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Not once does it mention that without works. It doesn't say that. But here's what we do as men and women. We put our own thoughts and our own ideas into the Word of God. Which is why it's important to always go to God's Word for the correct source. Because he doesn't lead us astray. But with that being said, works is a product of what? Of faith. Exactly. Works is a product of faith. And because of your faith in God, you should want to work for him. So it begins to go on and begin to give us illustration. Verse number 7 says, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house." So Noah, his faith did what? His faith caused him to build an ark, and we see what? Building is a form of works. But what does faith produce? Faith produces works, plain and simple. And then it goes on, Joshua, as you turn to, I just lost my place. My hand just hit my Bible and it just went everywhere. But in verse number 30, it says, "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. So Joshua and Israel, they would do what? They would walk around. Walking is a form of a what? Form of an action, form of doing something, form of a work. But they did it through their faith. And because of their faith, what took place? It wasn't the fact that they walked around the city for the 7 days, and then on the seventh day they walked around even more times. It wasn't because they did that. The reason why the walls fell down is because they acted upon their faith. Their faith in God caused the walls to come down. So we see again, faith produces works. Faith produces works. There's a reason why I'm trying to drive this home again. Faith produces works. It goes on. In verse number 31, it says, "By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with him that believed not when she had received the spies with peace." Think about this. The spies, they went to Rahab's place. Rahab is a woman who, in our mind, in our world, is a woman that you don't want to be involved with. You don't want to be around. You don't want to associate yourself with her because of the very things that she was involved in. The Word of God calls her a harlot, meaning her lifestyle was sleeping with men. That's what her lifestyle was. And so here comes the spies out of nowhere. They climbed up the wall, they knocked on her door, say, "Hey, harlot." I mean, not harlot. Oh, wow. Lord, forgive me how things come out of my mouth. They knock on her door and they say, "Rahab, this is what we're going to do." Rahab takes them in. Rahab begins to help them. She begins to do what? She hides them. Hiding is another form of a work. But look what the Bible says here. It says, By faith, the harlot, Rahab, perisheth not with them that believe not when she had received the spies with him. It wasn't her hiding them that spared her life or her family, but it was what? It was her faith. Her faith delivered her from death. Faith produces works. Faith produces works. And so we can go on in this with many examples from Gideon all the way down to Samuel. We can make those comparisons. But the one I want to focus on this morning, and I briefly mentioned it earlier on, we're going to read some more, and that is found in the book of Genesis chapter 22. So go ahead and turn back to Genesis chapter 22. I have many favorite stories in God's Word that I love to read over and over again. And this particular story is one I believe, as you begin to read this, is gut-wrenching as you see what takes place. So the one that I'm going to focus on for the next several minutes here is that of Abraham. That is mentioned in the book of James that we just read about. That is mentioned in the book of Galatians chapter 3 that we read about. And now we're going to read this story, and hopefully we can make some sense out of this. Verse number 22, and we're going to read down to verse number 14. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off." Think about this journey that is going on in the life of Abraham real quick, as I just pause for a little bit. Abraham is asked by God to sacrifice his son. Abraham, he begins to gather the things that he needs. He goes over here, he picks out the donkey that he needs, and he might go over here to the other side of the stable, and he picks out the saddle that he's going to put on him. Then he's got to go to his servants, and he picks the two men that he's going to have travel with him. And all these things that are just going through his mind, all in the meantime, Isaac might be somewhere doing something else before they travel. And as he's doing these things, Abraham's mind is just probably, you know, this is my son. This is who I've longed for. This is my son of my old age. And God, you're wanting me to sacrifice my son. Okay, God, if that's what you want, then God, I trust you. I'm going to put my faith in you. I'm going to believe everything that you say. You've helped me get out of this situation before. You provided me with finances on many different occasions. You gave me a son of my old age. You've spared my wife of death, delivering it at a child at such an old age. And so, God, if that's what you do, then okay, then I'm going to continue to pick up the things that I need to do to go forth and to do your will. Okay, so does that help you out just a little bit how Abraham might be thinking just a little bit? Because that's how I'm thinking. And I can put some more thoughts into that. So as we begin to pick this up just a little bit, in verse number 4, as they wake up the next day, it says, "Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off." So he looks up and he sees exactly where God has called him to go to sacrifice his son upon the altar. There's one thing that comes to my mind as this is taking place. I might be thinking, okay, God, I see that place. If I go there, then I got to lay down my son and sacrifice him. But I know my thoughts and I know my heart, but God, it would be so much easier just to walk away and not fulfill this. But here's what takes place. Abraham doesn't do those things. He says, in verse number 5, it says, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Okay, we see the faith of Abraham being tested. Now we see something else. We see the confidence of Abraham and his God. What do you mean confidence? Well, look what it says here. It says, "I and the lad will go yonder and worship." And what's that say? "And come again to you." Come again to you. Man, he's got confidence in God. He's got faith in God. And so verse number 6, as we continue on, it says, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together." So now we see Isaac, he's being burdened down with the load that he's got to carry to go to this place where he's going to lay down and be sacrificed. This is what's going through Isaac's mind. Again, as a young person, I'd be thinking, "Dad, this is, I'm not really agreeing with you. I'm not really seeing eye to eye with you on this, Dad. You're my father. You're supposed to take care of me." I see another picture taking place. Not only do I see Abraham keeping his faith upon God, but I see something else take place. I see Isaac having faith in God as well, and putting his faith in his father as well. Okay, this is what I must do. So be it. Dad, lay the wood on me. I'll carry the knife. Do whatever you desire for me to do. Verse number 7 says, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went up, they both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood." And then verse number 10, we see something take place. It says, "And Abraham, he stretched forth his arm." I can just imagine that Abraham, he's up there, he's on the mount, he's got Isaac laying down upon the altar, and then he raises his arm with a knife that's going to slay his son. And then you would think that would be the end of the story. Abraham would come down with his hand with a knife in there and slay his son, but that doesn't take place. Why? I'll tell you why that doesn't take place. Because Abraham serves a faithful God. See, all this that took place before is, yes, Abraham has faith, but also at the same time, his faith is producing works. He's getting the things ready. He's providing the wood. He's walking up to the altar. He's doing all these things. It says in verse number 10, it says, "And he took the knife to slay his son." But verse number 11 says, "And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Abraham's faith was tested by God in a way that would cause most people to walk away and hide from God. We also see not only the faith of Abraham, but we see the faith of Isaac, his son, as well. But we need to see in this that his faith produce works. The works mentioned are, one, to go. To go. The second work that is mentioned is to build an altar. The third work is to gather the wood. The fourth is to lay his son upon the altar. And then to raise the knife towards his son. Yes, he did perform works, but it was his faith in God that moved him to do so. Faith is the key factor when it comes to salvation. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians chapter 2. I'll give you a second to get there, but in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, we will read verses 8 through 9. And it's one of the words, one of the verses that we use as we go out witnessing to folks and begin to knock on doors. So let's read this. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." Verse number 9, pay attention to this. Because if you might fall in this category, well, I'm trying to work my way into heaven. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. Verse number 9, it says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." We are saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. So, what should our faith in God cause us to do when it comes to works? Because it is our faith that gives us salvation. Folks, do you realize there are so many things that our faith can cause us to do when it comes to works? I'm just going to give you some examples. Key thing yesterday, soul winning. Soul winning. That is a work that your faith should produce. That's just one. Oh, we'll leave it up to the younger ones. We'll leave it up to somebody else. Can I ask you a question? Where's your faith? Does not your faith produce works? Those are some things that we need to consider. It's called getting involved. It's called investing into our community. Has not your faith kept you out of hell? And should not we share the same faith that we have in God so we can tell our neighbors about him so they don't go to hell themselves? See, faith produces works. Faith produces works. There are so many areas that we can begin to even go into. Well, let's talk about faith promise a little bit. Faith promise is giving above our tithes. Making a commitment to God that we're going to give such and such amount for a whole year. So that the places that we can't get to physically, we can send missionaries to. So that we can spread the gospel. See, faith is producing works. I said the statement a couple weeks ago. In order for us to further the gospel to the world that we can't get to, our light back home has to shine brighter. And if our light back home is not shining, then how do we expect it to go to places we can't go to? See, it's called faith. Faith produces works. It's our faith that gives us salvation. I can't work for it. I can't do anything for it except for believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Knowing that my sins will separate me from him for eternity. Realizing I can't be with him until I repent of my sins. And putting my faith and trust in him. As I begin to talk about this, go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Book of Philippians chapter 2. It's talking about something, some things that I just mentioned, that what our faith should do. It says, "Wherefore," verse number 12, says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Your faith will cause you to produce works." So I'm going to try to say this in the simplest words as possible to help us understand just a little bit better. Ready for this? Write this down, because this is very, very good. Get off your duff and do something. Plain and simple. Get off your duff and do something. Not just for me. I don't want it for me. But get off your duff and do something for God. And again, there are so many things that we can do in our local church for the glory of God and for His kingdom. You know, we get amazed as parents. We want our kids to do stuff while they're living at home. And there's some things that get neglected. I grew up in a family of six. There's a lot of things that got neglected. And I can remember pulling weeds when they're 8 inches tall when I could have done it when they're an inch tall. We made things harder for us. And the reason why things get neglected and the reason why things don't get done is because we're sitting on our duff. And we need to get off our rear end, and I'm going to say that, and get busy for the glory of God. But here's what's happened. We have become so comfortable with just getting the get out of hell free card. Hey, I'm fine with getting my salvation. I'm thankful that Christ died for my sins and I accepted Him. I'm no longer bound to go to hell. I'm going to have a home with Him in eternity in heaven. But folks, let me tell you something. You're missing out in life if that's what you think salvation is all about. It's not just about getting the get out of hell free card. It's about doing works for Him. Your faith will produce works. And when it comes to anything else, here's our mindset. I'm comfortable. I'm no longer going to hell. Somebody else can do it. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Faith produces what? Say it with me. Works. Faith produces works. So that being said, as I close, your faith in God should cause you to do works for Him. Should cause you to do works for Him. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thankful today for your word. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to see what you wanted us to see this morning. God, I pray that if we as a church are just comfortable accepting your salvation and that's it, and not working out our salvation, not allowing our faith to produce works for you, God, I pray that you would challenge us to, Lord, the only way I know how to say it is I just said it, help us to get off our duff and to be busy for you. Lord, we know you're soon to come back for us. And God, we're not to be idle. We're not to be lazy. We're not to be sitting around doing nothing. God, you have commanded us to do things. You have asked us to help us fulfill the Great Commission. And so, God, I pray that we would take living for you serious. Just as serious as we do by putting things into our homes, into our vehicles, and into our jobs. Things that are just temporal. We value those things more than we value doing things for you. So God, I pray that our hearts would be challenged this morning. We ask you these things in your name. Amen.